When we stopped looking at her, she stopped riding, and she had the coldest stare for a three-year-old. She just stared at us. And she was waiting for everybody to pay attention to her again. And I had so much fun raising my kids. I still have fun with them, fighting with them, just whatever I can come up with, just something to do. Amen? How many of you love your kids? How many of you wish you never had them? Don't even put your hand up for that one, please. Huh? There are days. Mama said there'd be days like this, huh? Amen? Oh, my gosh. Yes, 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 yes. Well, I've got a message I want to share tonight. And I just named this, entitled this message, Let's clear this up. Let's clear up this. And it's something I just want you to see. If you would please put Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 in the NLT, and we'll get started right there. And we'll preach the word here. In season, out of season, up, down, and all around. Amen? Proverbs chapter 3. And this is a familiar verse. We use it a lot here. And this is what it says in the New Living Translation. I want you to follow. I'm going to make a very simple point, and then that's going to be the end of that. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then it says something very important. Do not depend on your own understanding. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now, this is a charismatic word of faith church, interdenominational. That's what this church is. And I'll tell you what, it's a smart fella that knows the problems with his own movement. And I'll tell you one of the problems with the movement of the charismatic movement, the word of faith movement. They say this, you can have what you say. Now, that's not always true. See, God wants you to go this way on something, and you keep saying, well, the Bible says I can have what I say. In the name of Jesus, I'm going this way. In the name of Jesus, it's got to come out my way this year. And see, and that becomes a problem. It is a falsehood that could stunt your growth or lead you off a path, because there are some things that you can have what you say. In Mark 11, chapter verse 23, it says, "You can have what you can." Well, let me just read it. Put up Mark 11, 23. Can you do that without too much trouble? I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he will have those things that he says. Now, that's true to a certain point. There are things I believe that God pretty well always wants people to be healed. I have no doubt in my heart that the Lord wants your mom to be healed. That was an affliction. You know, I hate to tell you this, I've never heard of anything this bad with these discs. Millie has 7 messed up discs. 7 out of 12 are messed up. One of them is really blasted. And she's getting ready to go and get some things done. We're at a phase where we're going to get some things done about that. And we're happy about that. But there are things, I want to do this. And the Lord says, I can have what I say, so I'm going to keep saying that. But the Lord might be saying, no, that's not what I have for you. I've got something else for you. Now, see, that is a fallacy in the Word of Faith movement. That'll mess you up. Or I want to be with this person. Or I want to go to this church. Oh, I want to do that. And God has, the word says in Corinthians, now God himself has placed each member in the body as it pleases him. See, so there's a place, God has a place for you to go to church. God has somebody that he wants you to be with. Somebody might think, well, I want to sell hubcaps for a living. But God might want you to go to college and become a nurse. See, and so you can say, well, I'm going to sell hubcaps. I'm going to sell them. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to the altar. I'm going to say it up there. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell my pastor. I'm a hubcap salesman in Jesus' name. But if the Lord wants you to do something else, well, that's not going to work out. Turn to, let's see here. Let's look at Samuel, the prophet, great man of God. And this is what happened. I think Kelly used this verse Sunday morning. And where God said, Samuel, stop praying for the restoration of Samuel, because that's not happening. He's going to be replaced as king. There were some reasons for that. And he said, you just take your oil and you go to the house of Jesse and you anoint who I show you. See, there was a change happening there. All right? That's one instance. Here's another one. Here's Moses. Moses was not going to cross over the River Jordan. God and Moses got crossways. He was supposed to speak to the rock, and the rock was going to produce water. But he took that staff, and he hit that rock. And God said, because you dishonored me in doing that, you're not crossing over. And Moses, it tells in that account that he tried over and over to have God let him go over the Jordan. When Moses died, he stood up straighter than I do, and he was 120 years old. His eyes were clearer than mine, and he didn't need glasses. And what happened? He just went up where he was supposed to be, and God just took him. And the word says God buried him, and nobody has ever found Moses' grave, okay? But the point is, you can think that you've got something, that you're going to have something, or I want to go this way, I want to go that, I want to move here. I'm going to tell you, one of the worst things you can do is be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That is the worst thing you can do. Let me tell you, when we were called here from Modesto, California, I made sure. And I'll tell you how I made sure. I said, now, God, if that's really you, I said, who's going to tell Millie? I just bought her a brand new home. And he said, well, is that your only problem? I said, yes. He said, well, I'll take care of Millie. And I don't remember how it all worked out, but I just said, Millie, God's told me that we're supposed to move to Arkansas. We had been talking about it. And she said something to the effect, I just want to be like one of the kids. You've never led me wrong. You just do what God says, I'll back you up. And isn't this the best place we ever lived, hon? Well, my gosh, we love it here. We love you people. We don't care what anybody says about you guys. We love you. And it's wonderful. Now, what if I also wanted to move to Idaho. Why? Because the bear hunting was great in Idaho. God said, no, son, you don't want to do that. I'll tell you another thing. I had my union card, and when it was in May of 1987, June, I think I was on a fast in Dardanelle at that great Western motel there, 3-day fast. And the Lord said, now I want you to turn in your union card. And I said, well, I'm not going to do that. He said, yeah, I want you to turn your union card in. Well, I said, Lord, And I asked him more than once, I want to keep it. He said, no. He said, it's important that you're going in a new direction, son. And we went back and forth. Oh, you can't go back and forth with God. Well, read your Bible. You find out that you can. You better be careful. You better have a sincere. And the Lord said, Angelo, why do you want to keep your union card? I said, Lord, in case this Paris Christian Center thing don't work out. And he said, Angelo, that's the wrong kind of faith. Now, I'm telling you to turn in that card. And I did what the Lord told me. All I can tell you this here is I've never regretted that. My children had the best Christmases. Am I telling you the truth? Every year we went to Branson. Now, they had more than enough. God took care of us. You know what? I'll tell you something. One of the things that will help you be blessed of the Lord, if you just find out what you're supposed to do and do it. Just try to do it. Just do it. You know what? God's not going to ask you to do something that is, you know, it's going to fit you. When you start to do it, you're going to see that it will fit your life. Now there's Paul. First called Saul. He had such revelation knowledge that the word says, in case you get the big head, there was a thorn in the flesh put on you. And he said, I sought the Lord 3 times to take that off of me. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to. Now, Paul could have said, in the name of Jesus, this is coming off. In the name of Jesus, this is going to come off. I said, in Jesus' name, this is going to come off. But see, that's not the way life went. Now, this kind of problem you don't see in the Pentecostal movement. You don't see it in the Assembly of God. You see it in the Word of Faith movement. It's taught so hyper, and it's taught out of place that you could just have anything you say. That's not always true. So that's why the Word says here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Your own understanding is where what you want comes in. The Lord says, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll reveal his will to you. He will direct your paths. Can you put that first verse up in the NLT again, please? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 in the New Living Translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on what you want. I mean, when you really get serious with God, you'll say what Jesus said. Nevertheless, he said, Lord, 3 times he said it, 3 times. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. This was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The next morning, he was going to be crucified. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, what happens is when we want something so bad that we want it more than what God has for you. And I can tell you, however things look, whatever God has for you, when you find it, what you'll discover, it's better than what you wanted. And many times what you wanted was full of traps and terrible things, things that you didn't, that God can see and that we can't see. How many of you believe that God can see tomorrow? I can tell you that he can. He knows all about it. Many years ago, three times, God told me, 3 nights in a row. It was during a full moon, because that moon would come in my bedroom window when I was sleeping, say, Angelo, chose you a wife. I want you to marry that woman next door. I want you to marry Millie. And you know what? I did what God said. And the only thing that's kept us together was that I married the person that God told me to. And if you don't, many other things can happen. And it doesn't matter if you're good old Joe, if you do the wrong thing, if you get on a wrong path, you're going to be miserable. And you don't want to be that. You want to try to do what God's told you to do. And I have given my wife a lot of trouble. And God knew what kind of a jerk I was. And he decided I needed somebody like Millie. So he took the only woman, the best woman on the North American continent for me to... Now, I apologize to everybody else. I got the best one. And August the 11th, we're married 50 years, August the 10th. And August the 11th is Sunday. And Lord willing and the creek don't rise right here, we're going to renew our vows. Now, we've done that before, but we're going to do it again for our 50th wedding anniversary. And we want you to be here. It'll be during the service. And we're just going to have a wonderful time. We want to celebrate that with you. See, a good marriage is to be celebrated by the church. Not because of me, but because of my wife, this is a good marriage. And I have many regrets, but she doesn't have any. Of course, she got me. I mean, that's what she wanted. How old was you when you fell in love with me, hon? It wasn't 13? You was pretty attracted then. And you were jailbait. I wouldn't even go near you then, for God's sake. But when we got older, just certain things happened. That's not our subject tonight. Turn with me, please, to James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15 in the King James translation, fellas. And he's got it up there. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Cabrin. And this is what the word says. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city and continue there for a whole year, and we will buy and sell, and we'll make a profit, we'll get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes. For what you ought to say is, if it's the Lord's will, we shall do this, that, and the other. Now, the charismatics don't read that verse very much, the Word of Faith people, because, see, if we could just have what we say, then we're a bunch of witches and warlocks. We want any time. Aside from the will of God. See, that's just not true. That's not the way life really is. And the charismatic Word of Faith movement is a powerful force if it's understood and taught properly. If you teach people amiss and they go out amiss, it's just not good. If it's the Lord's will. Say, from now on. Two of you didn't say that. From now on, as much as I can, I'm going to try to do the Lord's will. Say, I'm going to put the Lord's will above my will. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, that's what we're trying to do. As the title of my message, let's clear this up. I want to clear, because I've heard this around. You know, when I'm in the Word of Faith movement. I've been longer than I've been married. And I've heard this, and I hear it still today. You can have what you say. I can have anything I want. Well, the word says, having food and clothing, let us therewith be content. And I remember telling my pastor in Modesto when I was very young, before I had the kids, I had a 56 Volkswagen, the one that had the little window in the back. And I said, Pastor Mike, I said, I'm in the center of God's will for my driving. And I was. The Lord gave me that car. And he laughed at me, and it kind of hurt my feelings. He said, that's the center of God. Are you kidding me, Angelo? Come on now. God told you that. I said, yeah, for right now. But I'll tell you what, I didn't keep it for very long. And I've driven all kinds of cars. Nice cars. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful cars. Now, let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 in the King James Version of the Bible. In the most famous prayer in the Bible. The prayer for every believer to pray is this here. Here's the Lord, and this is what he says. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done. You know what's a powerful thing? When you find out an area where it's God's will for your life and you pray it, that's an unstoppable prayer. If you will line yourself up with God and you find out that when I knew that God wanted me to marry Millie, well, that's just what I was going to do. When I knew God wanted us to move to Modesto, I remember we loved little Evan, and I've shared this in part a little bit before. And one day I was sitting on a couch. I still got that couch, Evan. The Lord said, Angelo, I want you to raise that little boy. And I said, now, Father in heaven, you know his mother and father are not going to sign over the rights to me. He said, let me just put it to you this way. If I can take care of that, will you do what I've asked you, and will you raise that little boy? I said, well, sure I will. And I'm going to tell you, God, don't ask me how he did it, but they both signed. It was legal, and Mary and I were the guardians. Isn't that right, Mary? I paid for it. We needed $1,000 on a Friday. Millie got that her paycheck on Friday, and I'm telling you the truth. There was an extra $1,000, and I took it and gave it to David Cravens, and that was that. But what you want to know, what you want to do, you can tell God what you like, what you want, and then find out what his will is. About, you know, what I find, I've had a lot of people tell me this, a lot of young people, my life sucks. Well, why does your life suck? Well, I don't know. I don't even know what I want to do. You know what? Seek the Lord. Because if you seek the Lord and you find out what God wants, and if you'll take a chance and just do what God wants, you're going to be the happiest it doesn't get no better than that. You were made, when you're born again, when you've asked Christ to come into your life, you are made to connect with the will of God. Just like a baby knows its mom and its dad. They're raised together in 2 or 3 years. They know. They call them mommy and daddy. And they know. Okay? You were made, listen to me, born again person. You were made to connect with the will of God. And I think there's more turmoil in the life of the believer today because it's closer to the end than ever before. More bad stuff happening. And that if we can just do Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know who you are. Be still and know my will for your life. So tonight when we examine our hearts before we take communion, I'm hoping that you'll ask God like never before, Father, reveal what's your will for my life. See, you know, at first I had trouble asking that, and I'll tell you why. I thought, what if I don't like what his will is? And I must say, there's been times when I thought, I really don't care for this here. But you know, as I did it, Kayla, I've never ceased for it just work out. There's nothing like knowing what you're supposed to do at the hands of God Almighty and then praying that way. That's just a supernatural, powerful thing. It really is. All right, we are down to the last verse for tonight. So y'all can put the last verse music up there if you want. And I've chosen this. These are all very common verses that we use. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13 in the King James translation of the Bible says this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. That means to give you success. To give you more than enough for your life to live. Okay? And then verse 12 says this. Then shall ye call upon me and shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you. And then here's the thing. Here's where we fall short. This is where I've seen Christians fall short on many, many planes, many levels, many different playing fields. It says this here. And you shall seek me, and finally, only when you seek with all of your heart. And in May of 1987, when we started Paris Christian Center, I wrote the song, When You Seek Me With All of Your Heart. And that's where we're at. It is worth it for you. I mean, what is it worth to you to be in the center of God's will, to have God's best blessing? What is it worth to you to wait? You know, Kelly is telling me, Dad, well, we're going to get this in front of this here painted. She says, I'm still kind of pondering on that. See, she was seeking God's will. Then she said, you know, we're now working on the sign. See, she did things the way I did. See, I didn't just buy them three houses over there because they were for sale. I bought them because God told me, you buy them houses, son. And I'll tell you what happened. I'll be honest. The first two or three times I tried to buy them, they were not, it wasn't good, it wasn't happening, man. I thought, these people are crazy. They think they're in Hollywood. They want that much. I'm not giving that much. But when the time was right, it took years for, I think we waited to purchase those buildings from the time we knew until we bought it was 15 years. And when we got them, I knew that was God. And I remember telling Sam, I said, brother, come here. I said, you see that house right there? There's a little old lady living there. Her name is Barbara. I said, when we get them houses, we're going to let her live there till the day she dies. That's exactly what happened. Why is that? Because that's what God's will was. God cares about the widows and the orphans. And don't you ever think that God doesn't care about you. The devil will tell you in your thought process, you did this or that, and God doesn't care, and God, that's not true. God loves you. He knew what we were like. You know what? I'll teach a message on this sometime soon. God always let me know when I messed up. He let me know, now, Angelo, I'm still here, and I'm going to help you, and we're going to do better. We're going to do better. And if you've got a mind tonight, as we examine our hearts to do better, you tell that to God, and God's going to help you. You will find me, and I put this in on the bottom of that verse. You'll only find me. The only way you'll find me is when you seek me with all of your heart. If you do something halfway and you just make a halfway decision, you know, the more important decision, and you don't investigate things all the way, that could bite you in the tail before it's over. Well, it's time to take communion. If you're going to take communion tonight, make an altar where you are or come up here.